One man can change the world with a bullet in the right place.
Welcome back to the podcast. We are known as New to Pew, the famous interracial bromance on the internet. My name is Max Fallis. Give it up for me, goddammit, as I walk down the long hallways of firearms ownership. But no, I'm not alone.
Who the fuck is that guy?
That, my friend, is the BBR Bagman. Sir, how are you on this fine evening?
I am so happy to be here. This is going to be a good episode because we got a bunch of things for people to buy, and I know people like buying things this time of year, so I think this will make people happy.
Okay. Well, the title for this episode, ladies and gentlemen, is Tools of the Trade. Now, this may not be your average hammer and the screwdriver set. No, these may be specialized tools that
have a very particular set of skills.
Help you maintain and build your firearms?
Sure. Maintain, repair, build, all work on, all those things, yeah. And it kind of hit me the other night because for those of you following my private life, started a new job and needed some tools. And I went, oh, this would be a good topic of conversation for the podcast. So jumping right into some of the tools you need right away as soon as you buy your firearm is a cleaning kit. Mm-hmm. Right? So there's solvents and lubricants and all of those things. We're not going to get into the chemical side of it, but the mechanical parts, various brushes, a cleaning rod and jag, patches, those kinds of things. The thought I had was I really like boar snakes and similar products. I believe I set you up with one of those too at one point.
Yeah.
For cleaning your AR.
Yeah.
So for, and again, for the folks that are new, it's basically a tapered rope with a brass end, and then the brush that you would use for cleaning the bore is built into this rope. So instead of making 50 passes with a patch and a little short brush, you make one pass with this thing, and it does a really good job of cleaning everything out. So what you need to know about that is that has to be cleaned as well from time to time. Otherwise, you're just running the same crud through your bore. The other thing is that does not negate the need for cleaning rods. You still need cleaning rods because those are going to help do other things. In addition to cleaning, they can also be used to knock out a stuck case. So if you fire around and the case doesn't extract, eject, stays in the chamber for whatever reason, you can use that cleaning rod to knock that out. So that's an important tool.
Are we thinking like large Q-tip?
Was that like ramrod? Yeah.
Would you call me? How dare you? okay. Yeah, I got you. So
that's going to go in through, like, if the case is stuck, that's going to go in through the muzzle end and knock it backwards out the back of the chamber. So you can't do that with a boar snake, right? It's flexible. It's not going to do that. Same thing with Otis makes a pull through cleaning cable that works the same way as a boar snake, but it's a cable that has the brushes and the jag and everything that attaches to the end of it instead of using a traditional cleaning rod. But that rod still has its place. So when you're getting your cleaning kit, make sure you get one of those too, because you may need that for, like I said, for troubleshooting. The next thing up would be a good cleaning mat. So something to put your stuff on while you're working on the guns to keep one from damaging. If you're doing this at the kitchen table, you don't want to damage the kitchen table. It also helps catch some of the lead that comes out. Little bits of solvent and stuff go onto that instead onto the table and keep you from contaminating your kitchen table, as well as protecting the finish of your firearm if you've got something real pretty and fancy that you don't want beat up. So a cleaning mat is a good idea.
I actually I take my mat to the range with me because the stalls have, like, there's a, it's obviously a tabletop, but
there's a like a rough stippling on it, and then it's the outer barriers of it are like, you know, that metal on the back of your truck with little studs on it, whatever the hell that's called.
Diamond plate.
That's what I was trying to think of. You know, diamond plate, it's this thing that they put it on trucks. They have that like around the edge. So I don't want to put my rifle on it and have it scraping up because I'm still like trying to keep my stuff as baby new as possible. So I bring the the mat for that just to keep my stuff good.
Generally, the stalls are referred to as ports.
Thank you. Thank you.
Stalls are in the bathroom. Ports are on the range.
Okay. No argument.
Right.
No argument.
It's just one of those things. Like, I know what you mean, but yeah.
Yeah. Nomenclature. Wording is very important, Bagman.
Wording is important. Yeah. Wow. This keeps coming back today.
It's all connected. It's all connected.
That's an inside joke that no one listening will understand.
No.
Yeah, that's interesting because usually they've got, you know, rubber mats or stuff.
No, it's not rubber.
The tabletops and the ports. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense then. And again, if you're shopping for one of these, it's basically a giant mouse pad. Are mouse pads still a thing, or am I dating myself?
Yes, no, they sell mouse pads at Five Below. So it's still there.
Okay.
Yeah, still out there. Gamers love mouse pads. So do
there you go.
Firearms guys. Literally, it's the same material. It's just huge. Just bigger with
it's usually neoprene with something cool printed on it.
Yeah, mine is the exploded view, which I think is just a no-brainer. You know, if you're working on something and you have a exploded view, which is like a three-dimensional blueprint kind of, you know, thing, it really helps to know where that tiny screw goes back to.
with a quick search, you can probably find a cleaning mat with whatever firearm you have. So yours is the AR-15. You could probably find one that has a 1911 printed on it. I definitely have in mine AR-15, Glock, and I think I have a 1911 one too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that exploded view, like you said, can be pretty handy. And if nothing else, like, just gives you a place to put the pieces while you're working on it. And that looks real aesthetically pleasing while you're doing things, too.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing up would be a gunsmithing screwdriver. And the difference between a gunsmithing screwdriver and a regular screwdriver is that the bits are hollow ground because they're machine screws, not traditional wood screws. So a regular screwdriver is flat ground. It looks like this. A gunsmith screwdriver is going to be hollow ground, so they're kind of like curved in.
Okay.
So that it presents a perpendicular surface to the screw, because some of those screws are not as deep as other mechanical screws.
Gotcha.
Right? So if you look at the grip screws on your 1911, they're not real deep.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're using a tapered screwdriver, that may slip out and scratch things.
Mm-hmm.
And having the right tool for the job keeps everything looking nice. Gunmaster makes a really good, inexpensive one that I've used quite a bit. I've got several of that particular set.
Is that the one you got me in blue?
Yep, that blue one. Sweet. And I sell those, and I think you can get them at Walmart. They're all over the place. So
I have debated taking that thing to work so many times just because it had so many little bits that, you know, now you know would be very useful out in our field.
Yeah, it's super handy. And I thought about the same thing, and I just went, no, because if I wreck that, it's going to be a pain in the butt trying to get all those bits again.
Yeah.
So, you know, dedicate that one to your firearm stuff. And if you want to use one for work, get another one for work.
That may happen.
You know, but don't hurt yourself taking it out of your gun stuff. Because I guarantee, as soon as you leave it somewhere at work, you're going to need it that weekend working on your guns.
And it'll be the same bit I need for my rail. What is it? G-lock? C-lock?
M-lock. M-lock.
Yeah, it'll be like the same bit I need for my M-lock to take something on or off. And it'll be used at work and left in some dirty mechanical room or something, shining bright and blue because that's my, you know, that's my color.
Screwdriver is important, and there's a bunch of different types of sets out there. Like that one's pretty small and only runs about $10. Mm-hmm. You can spend $50 on a crazy screwdriver set for gunsmithing. And it'll have a lot more stuff to it. Mm-hmm. Wheeler makes some good screwdrivers for that. Gunmaster, those are the only two that come to the top of my mind. Wheeler makes a whole bunch of stuff. So the other thing that Wheeler does is there is a scope mounting kit. So if you're adding a traditional optic with scope rings, you can lap the rings, and they make a ring lapping set so that when you install those rings, you've got these metal rods that go in there, and you can polish the inside surface of those so everything is really flush and parallel, and you get the best surface for your optic. So you're improving the precision of it, improving the stability of it, improving the fit of it, and thereby improving the accuracy you're going to get from it. Those are a little bit pricey if you're not, you know, really doing a nice scope. I would say you could probably hold off on that. In the department of AR-15s, so if you're going to start working on your AR, building ARs, which is a lot of fun, it's Legos for grown-ups, armorer's tools are a thing.
Is that the little hammer set you had?
No.
Oh.
So that's a punch set.
Okay.
You'll need one of those too, but specifically the armorer's tool. So the one I have that I absolutely adore and I've used a bunch, and this is my favorite, and it kind of breaks my heart that Tapco went out of business, but Tapco made a really great armorer's tool that just had no weak points to it. So that was that big green wrench.
Oh, that you used to put on the buffer tube.
Correct.
Okay, yeah.
When we torque the castle nut, there's a big flathead screwdriver on there. It's got a hammer surface so you can tap with it. It's got two different barrel nut wrenches on there that are integrated on both sides depending on, you know, which one you need. There's a bottle opener. There's a ton of stuff, and that's the way most of them are designed. Mm-hmm. To a degree that it's a big piece of metal that's a multi-tool. The problem is the way different companies lay those things out, and I've seen this happen with a lot of them, is they'll put a castle nut spanner as a hook on the very end of it. Mm-hmm. And if you knock that off the table or drop the tool, that hook breaks off. Oh. And now you lose that function.
Yeah.
Right? So Tapco did a really good job of laying everything out in their design in a way that was structurally sound. With that said, you can find other ones. Wheeler makes a good one. A company called Real Avid makes another good armorer's wrench that's kind of chunky and has like a big hammer face on it. Mm-hmm. Even more so than the Tapco one has. Like the Tapco one is okay for, you know, little tappy tap stuff here and there, but if you had to really knock on something, the Real Avid would be the better choice. Mm-hmm. So there's that, the punch set that you mentioned. So two different types of punch sets. There's a regular punch set for driving pins, and then there's a roll pin punch set, which has like the nipple on the end of each punch. Mm-hmm. And that's designed to sit into a roll pin, which is hollow. It's a flat piece of metal rolled up to make a cylinder. There's a bunch of those in ARs in different places. That's a handy thing to have. Again, I want to say it's Gunmaster makes a set that has both in it. Mm-hmm. And is very reasonably priced. So the hammer that comes in those sets usually has a brass side and a plastic side. Mm-hmm. And then some shot in it, so it's kind of like a dead blow hammer, just really tiny. So
what's a dead blow hammer?
You ever see like the big orange mallet that when you shake it you can feel there's weights in it moving around a little bit?
No.
It's usually got some sort of shot in it. No, you've never dealt with one of those?
No. I've dealt with like a rubber mallet. And obviously a right. hammer, and sledgehammer, but nothing.
Right.
So is that like weight compensating to kind of slow down so it's less of an impact? Is that why?
Or more of an impact.
Okay.
More of an impact without marring. But that's exactly why you're doing that in that gunsmithing hammer. Mm-hmm. So you've got materials that are not going to mar the finish, but then you've got this little bit of extra weight to it that's going to give it good driving capabilities.
Right.
You'll need, so in when you're looking at those punch sets, you want to make sure you have probably some sort of steel, brass, and there's probably going to be a couple of plastic punches in there that have different applications. We can do that on a different episode, but you want to make sure you get all of those, and then your roll pin punches should be steel.
Remember the game Don't Break the Ice?
Yes. Wow.
That's what, watching you use that, that reminded me of that.
1991 called. They've got a game for you.
Pass on the fun of Ants in the Pants and Don't Spill the Beans. There's Cootie and Don't Break the Ice, too.
Fine. I'd rather go back there than where I am now. It was a whole lot more fun to live back then, I'd say. Colors were bright. Music was danceable. Why not? Shit. As long as you don't break the ice, you're all right.
Nice.
Thank you.
It's funny. I can picture the package with like the little penguin standing on the the thing.
It was a blue stand with white ice cubes in the middle, and I believe it was a yellow hammer, because my mind remembers that little detail, but not where I was.
That's yesterday. Impressive.
No, it's not, because I don't That's remember impressive. Where I was yesterday. It's a trade.
Was it one hammer, or did like each player get a hammer?
I thought you passed the hammer around. I think it came with one hammer, and when you took turns, you got the hammer to tap, tap, tap. Because it was a matter of whoever tapped the one that caused the collapse lost. So
okay.
I'm assuming you get... Well, I could be wrong. You know what? Email us at newtopew@blackbagresources.com and let us know if it was one hammer or four hammers or any combination of in between. With your Don't Break the Ice set.
Yeah, I feel like there should have been a yellow, a red, a blue, and a green.
You know,
it seemed to be like the motif for everything.
That is the Candyland complex right there, where every piece gets its own. You may be right. You may be right. I could
Was
be
that wrong. A Parker Brothers game or a Hasbro game?
I'm going to guess Hasbro. It's a guess. But if I'm wrong, email us at newtopewpodcast@blackbagresources.com, ladies and gentlemen.
You've got mail.
Right.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, one on your armorer's tool and one in your punch set. And then if you really want to go nuts. So the other thing I found interesting was you can, most trigger guards on ARs are some combination of a spring-loaded pin and a either roll pin or screw, depending on the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. So your standard one has a roll pin in it. And it's kind of a pain in the butt, because if you're not careful and you're not using what's called a bench block, so it's like a plastic puck with different layout pieces in it that you can fit your receiver into, that prevents you from damaging the firearm when you're hammering on it with your little hammer. Because there's ears on either side of the receiver that hold that trigger guard in place. And if you, I've never had it happen, but I've seen pictures of it. If you screw that up, you can bend or break that ear off. Ooh. And now you've trashed your receiver. So what I found was there's a little tool that Wheeler makes that helps you install that roll pin. It's basically a C-clamp with two different length pins that fit into it. Mm-hmm. So almost like a caliper tool or a C-clamp, it works that way. So that's pretty handy. I would not call that super essential right away. If you're going to do a bunch of ARs, it makes life easier. In that set, though, more important than that is another hammer and then two starter punches, or a starter punch and a roll pin punch for your bolt stop roll pin. And that one can be a real pain in the butt, because you've got a spring and a plunger behind the bolt catch, and then you have to drive a roll pin in at the same time. Mm-hmm. And again, having the right tools makes that a lot easier. So those punches are flat on one side, rubber coated, so you can just hold it up against the receiver and tap everything into place, and it works really, really well.
What was that?
And again,
what was the one tool you acquired right when you started building my AR, and you were ranting and raving about it, and it was because it was tricky to put this one pin in because you had to slide something over and
pivot pin. Real okay, so this is one, and again, I want to say it's like $15, but if you're building an AR, it's money well spent, because you're so you have a takedown pin and a pivot pin, and those are the two pins that are in your receiver.
Yes,
right. That attach the upper receiver to the lower receiver.
Right, mine are blue. The little
blue yours are blue because right that's there. Awesome. Yep. Right.
Okay.
So that's the one at the rear is the takedown pin. The one at the front is the pivot pin, because when you take the takedown pin out, the upper receiver pivots.
Yep. Okay.
Right. Installing the spring and detent for the takedown pin is easy because that's done from the rear of the receiver and then covered by the rear end plate, held in place with the buffer tube and castle nut and all that. That one's easy, right? Most people don't screw that one up. The front pivot pin has a spring and detent that go into a channel and are often launched into the atmosphere and lost forever. It is the by far the single most challenging and easily lost part in assembling your lower on an AR. Real Avid makes a tool that allow, like, you put this flap in place, you drop your spring and your detent in, and there's a pin that goes in from the end that pushes that in place. And then you can rotate that. So that's now all locked in position. And then you slide your pivot pin in from the other side and knock the other end of the tool out. And voila, you've just done the easiest installation of that part ever. I've seen people do tricks with like razor blades, and on a couple that I did for myself, I would like trim the spring so it would hold together a little bit easier. Just, yeah, there's a bunch of different tricks out there, but that tool just makes the whole thing so much easier.
What tension is the spring putting on, since, at least looking at it from the outside, the pin's going across side view of the AR, and you hinge mm-hmm. this way. So what is the spring giving you tension for if you're riding? I'm thinking of it like riding a shaft back and forth.
So think about you're in front of the AR, right? This right. is the receiver, and this is the pin. The pin moves this way.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Your pivot pin moves this way. This locks it all together. This allows you to remove your upper receiver. There's a channel in the backside of this.
Okay.
With two dimples. Behind that are the spring and detent that hold that pin in position.
Okay.
So that's why it clicks into place. So click is the spring and detent holding it here, and then I push it, and it clicks again.
If I'm holding it, the front one, not the rear one you're talking about?
Correct.
Okay, because I've... Okay, so then
so
I've
if
never
you
taken
look,
it off.
If you look at this... Right, if you look at the side of your receiver, you'll see like this long bubble.
Okay.
In the metal, there's a little hole.
Right.
Inside that hole is a spring that's going this way, a detent in front of it, and your pin is here. So that pushes up against the pin to hold that pin in position.
Okay.
Because if there was no tension on that, it would just slide out, and then your gun would come apart.
Okay. Yeah, I've never taken that one out. I've only popped the back one off to change my bolt. And I'm just
right.
Riding.
Change your bolt.
Yeah, I was thinking
you can clean everything out that way. You don't really have to take right, it off yeah, if you don't right. want to. Yeah,
gotcha. Yeah. Okay,
there I'll have to draw you some pictures.
There was a video back during the protest to riots, and I'm sure you've probably seen it. There was a police car broken into, and two young 18 to 20 year olds pull out an AR from the cop car. And then this guy who, come to find out, was doing a private security detail, who was an operator in some sort of military service, rolls up with a handgun at the ready and literally yanks that gun out of their hand. And I watched, he breaks it down, he separates it, put it into a backpack. That's interesting.
Yep. You can follow him on Instagram under Shooter Rugi.
There you go.
So I think his last name is Rugi or some variation of that. But yeah, and he teaches classes and, you know, is a certified instructor and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, you can find him. And he was hot news in the firearms community when that happened, because, you know, big clanging balls.
For real. Him, and then there's the other guy that stopped a gas station convenience store robbery who was also in the military. He's like, it's like slippers and sandals, and a guy comes in behind him with a gun and he just lunged after him and subdued the guy. And I think the guy ran out, but you never know when shit's about to pop off. You gotta be ready. But it was interesting to tie this rant up. It was interesting to watch him so quickly take off both those pins and break that thing down.
Yeah, he just ran up on those guys and was like, no, you don't get to have that. Give me that. Yeah.
And to add some comedy to it, if you're able to watch the video, look at the sheer shock on the kid's face, because you could tell that, like, luckily they didn't come across as menacing. Like, they weren't about to just start ripping and running and quote-unquote mass shooting people. They pulled out
something. Who knows what they were going to do, but they were like, oh, I got a neat little trophy here. Yeah, and he was like, work? No, you don't.
It was almost like when you see the monkey with the gun.
That's racist.
Kind of thing. He's like trying to fidget around with it, then ends up shooting somebody else. But like, and homeboy just rolled up, and you saw how they were like, yeah, here, take this. We don't want it. It's fine, sir. Mm-hmm. And I think he had a Glock or something, like a handgun, just right up on his chest at the ready. It was a cool piece of video, man. Definitely check it out if you haven't seen it, ladies and gentlemen.
Other tools, so your bench blocks, right? Like I said, and they're, so for the AR-15, there's one that's pretty good. They make one for 1911s if you're going to work on 1911s. I'm sure they make them for other ones. I've never felt the need to buy a mag block. So if you were going to put your gun into a vise to work on it that way, a mag block is one way to do it, and that's like a dummy magazine that goes into the magazine well, and then you can clamp that into your vise, so you're not actually attaching the gun to the vise, but now the gun is very stable for you to work on it.
I've seen those with ARs on the Instagrams.
Yeah, that's, yeah, cool. And they make them for ARs, AKs, AR-10s, a couple other things.
It's
but,
a nice display,
you know,
option too. I've seen like wall mounted. I don't know if it's the same thing exactly, but wall-mounted displays, and it plugs in like a magazine does.
Yeah. It's an easy way to get a grip on the lower receiver. They make an upper receiver block. I didn't care for that design, so I didn't use it. I use, again, it's a Wheeler tool that clamps over the upper receiver, and then you can grip it with the vise that way, and it prevents the upper receiver from rotating. So when you're putting on a barrel and tightening a barrel nut, which is, I want to say, torque to spec is 60 to 80 pounds, if I remember correctly off the top of my head. So you're putting a little bit of torque on that to get it into position. The other one that's kind of a pain in the butt is muzzle devices. So same kind of thing. You're going to need a stable bench vise and, you know, a way to hold that upper receiver and barrel in position to install that. So that option from Wheeler is really good. There's something called an action rod, which is another way to put your receiver, your upper receiver, onto a vise. Geisley makes one. I believe the one I have is from Real Avid. That works pretty good, but you end up it ends up next to the vise, which can be awkward.
Okay.
Because it's a, think about, like, it goes in where your bolt carrier group would go, right? Yeah. And it's got teeth on it that go into the lugs on the barrel extension, so you're holding the upper receiver in place there. But what you have to think about is it's not actually in the vise. This rod is in the vise and then sticking out from that. So you're working next to your vise. So if you start to put downward pressure on it, it can tilt.
So it's like a sideways L, like a L into it?
No, it's just a straight rod. And it's got flat sides that go into the vise jaws. And the front end is shaped like a bulk carrier group that goes into the upper receiver.
Okay.
But that felt kind of tippy to me. It's nice in the sense that you're not putting anything around the receiver. Mm-hmm. So if you're working with something that's got a delicate finish on it, or if you don't want to remove the optic because you're just changing out a muzzle brake, I guess that's the application for that that makes the most sense. But I wasn't crazy about the way it tipped, right? Mm-hmm. I think those are the key ones. General stuff, a nylon bristle brush, a brass bristle brush. Your cleaning brushes are brass, so the one that goes onto the cleaning rod. Get a cleaning kit for each caliber you have. You know, obviously, if you're shooting 22 and 5.56, that's technically the same caliber. You can use one cleaning kit for both. Mm-hmm. But if you decide you're going to get a 30 caliber and a 9mm and a 45 ACP, you want to make sure you have full cleaning kits for each of those, just in case.
Now, the differences wouldn't necessarily be like what you're cleaning up. It's more about getting the bore size so you can properly mm-hmm. scrub that out. And little intricacy type tools to get into certain crevices that one caliber may have versus the other. But your cleaning solution is pretty standard all the way through, question mark?
No, there's so... All right, here's my secret, right? I want to develop a gun lube and call it snake oil.
Okay.
Because there are so many gun lubes out there, and so many of them are just nonsense, and everybody claims to be the best. Everybody claims that theirs does something that nobody else's does, and everybody claims it's some special forces, space force frog seal space shuttle door gunner uses their stuff exclusively, and that's why it's the best. Like, there's just all this nonsense out there. So yeah, I want to make a BS gun lube that, you know, works fine, but then make all the ridiculous claims and just call it snake oil, because I feel like that's what people are really selling at this point. So there's a bunch of different solvents out there that are designed to remove different things you will find in your bore depending on what type of firearm you're shooting, right? So shotgunners that are using plastic hulls can accumulate plastic in their chambers, right?
Yeah,
they'll use a solvent that'll remove that. There's a special solvent for removing lead. There's a special solvent for removing brass or copper. And some of these things are like really nasty, like really smelly, really bad for you. You don't want to get them on your skin, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So nitrile gloves or latex gloves, if you're not allergic to latex, whatever. But you got to make sure that stuff's not going to react with those chemicals too. So it's the chemicals you can have. We could do an entire episode just on the chemicals.
Wow.
Which is why I kind of glossed over it earlier. But yeah, there's a lot to cleaning stuff and lubricating stuff that if you want to go down the rabbit hole, you can chase that as far as you want to go. Generally a 3-in-1 or a CLP is okay, but you know if you're shooting regularly, you should probably get a real solvent and really do a deep clean on that gun at least once a year. As far as brands, like there's a CLP brand, which is cleaner, lubricant, and protectant, and that's kind of the military standard. Ballistol is another good one. Hoppies is ubiquitous. Otis makes some stuff. Tetragun is based right in New Jersey.
Hmm.
I've used their stuff quite a bit. They've got a bunch of good products that I really like.
I like the name.
Tetragun.
Tetragun. Yeah. Sounds like anime.
Well, they have a bike division too, so I think there's Tetra Bike and Tetra Gun.
Oh shit! Okay.
And I believe they make stuff for fishing too.
Ooh, Tetra Fish.
I think you get a
Tetra Shark. Tetra Shark.
Well, there's a fish called a Tetra too, so it could just be Tetra Tetra.
Oh yeah, maybe.
I have no idea.
It's all connected, not, ladies and gentlemen.
Not my department. Yeah. So there's a ton of cool stuff there.
Looking in your tool bag, is there a sponsor in there, sir?
Yeah, so our sponsor this week is Pete and Pedro for all the fine grooming products a man could possibly need. We're going to put a link in the show notes, and coupon code BLACKBAG10 will get you 10% off store-wide. So whether it's hair care products, stuff for your beard, deodorant, they make a bunch of great stuff that is all paraben-free and natural and good for you.
Santa approved, if you were listening to
Santa
prior.
Santa approved, yeah. And if you're looking to get a little more romance from your wife, I would strongly recommend their fragrances.
So that's it for this episode. Be sure to check out the sponsors we mentioned earlier. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at new2pew@blackbagresources.com. You can check out the website, blackbagresources.com. And if you really want to go deep, you can check out the Black Bag Resources Network and become a part of the community. Thanks for listening.